Hello and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast, Developing Complex Embedded Systems with Tiny Plug-and-Play Compute Platforms, Key Design Considerations. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator, with today's speakers, Leon Ferrisati from Qualcomm and Keith Fleer from Inforce Computing. Today's schedule consists of about 50 minutes of presentation, leaving 10 minutes at the end of the hour for audience Q&A. Before we begin, let's run down some important features of your viewing console. First is the Enlarge Slides button. This button will maximize the slides to fill your entire screen. The Download Slides button allows you to download and print the slides if you'd like a hard copy to follow along with. The button labeled Forward to a Friend enables you to send an email to someone that will include a registration link to this eCast so they can also attend. The Ask a Question text box enables you to participate in today's event. You can simply type your question into the box and submit it using the Submit button. You can submit questions at any time during the presentation. We encourage you to do so early and often while you're looking at the material and the questions fresh in your mind. We'll address as many of these as we can during the closing Q&A, and if you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, you could submit those too, and one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you during the eCast. Our speakers today are Leon Ferrisati and Keith Fleer. Leon is the Director of Product Management for Qualcomm Technologies within the IoT business unit, where he's responsible for Qualcomm Snapdragon embedded computing products. Leon has more than 15 years of experience in various design, engineering, and product management roles in the computing industry. Prior to joining Qualcomm, he has spent 6 years at NVIDIA Corporation, where he has served as product manager in charge of graphics processor platform. Leon holds a Bachelor of Applied Science in Computer Engineering in the University of Waterloo in Canada and a Master's degree in Management Science in Engineering from Stanford University. Our other presenter is Keith Fleer. He's a Technical Marketing Engineer at Inforce Computing. Keith is excited about embedded design and fascinated by all the disruptive end products that leverage bleeding-edge mobile technologies. His career has spanned the field of robotics, thermal, mechanical, industrial controls, human, electromechanical interfaces, and culminated in a desire to be at the center of the ongoing surge in embedded hardware applications. Keith received his BSE in engineering with mechanical focus from the Arizona State University. Welcome, gentlemen. Leon, I believe you're starting today. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Kurt. I appreciate it. Good day, everyone. My name is Leon, and I do apologize for my voice. I'm actually recovering from a cold that I picked up this weekend. Good news is I'm only the introducing of the next speaker. And before I hand it off to Inforce, Keith of Inforce, I wanted to give you guys an overview of what we are doing in the embedded space. Using Qualcomm Snapdragon processors. And I think it's fair to say that we are somewhat relatively new to these broad markets with our Snapdragon processor. And, you know, we're obviously not very well known being a traditional embedded processor, but what we're really known for is our mobile smartphone processors. And what we've done over the last few years is we've taken a few steps as far as preparing our chipset for going into these adjacent markets. And one of those key steps was bringing in a number of ecosystem partners who are going to help with time to market and with development of these solutions around our processor. And one of those partners, one of our very good partners, Inforce, is here to tell you about what they have done and the type of solutions that they have created for these embedded markets. If you were to take a few things away, I think, from this webinar, one of them would be, you know, what is it about Snapdragon that makes it a good solution for these IoT-type devices? Two, what are some of the things that we have done to make that happen, to enable and scale? And three, what is the role of our solution partners like Inforce in helping with those devices? So let me go to my first slide. I really like this slide because you know it really brings a point to this to this presentation, which is there's really not a key or a single definition of IoT or Internet of Things. I think we've all heard about it, but it's really not an industry or a well-defined business segment. For some people, it's about the devices. Some would consider, you know, the apps and services. And that's why you see a really wide range of estimates for the size of these markets. But I think really if there was one thing that everyone would agree on, would be that the opportunity is big. It's just a significant market or significant goal to go after these markets. And as you see, the numbers you know, all end with a T, which is, you know, which is always a good signal. So let me go to the next one. You know, there's obviously when you go after a market this large, there's going to be a number of challenges, especially when you're talking about embedded devices. This is not a comprehensive list, but some of those challenges, from what we heard, are a lot of these devices are looking for higher performance. You know, when you look at the complexity of some of these networks, and you look at the devices that are going at the edge of these networks, the need for performance obviously has gone up. But at the same time, a lot of these devices are in smaller form factors. It could be in your pocket, could be in your car, could be in your home, and you know, there's a need to have a small processor with a lot of performance. At the same time, again, if you're talking about portable devices, there's a challenge of how do you power it up, and the batteries, as you know, as you're all familiar. We still don't have a type of batteries, even for our phones, that can give us very long battery life. So you have the same challenge with battery life, the same challenge with reliability. When you're talking about many, many, many devices, you obviously don't want to have to go and change them every time something breaks down. And then the last one is low cost. So when you're talking about billions of devices, obviously cost is really important. So let me go to my next slide. And as you can see, in the mobile and the smartphone market, we really had a number of those same challenges. And what we ended up over several years of developing these processors for smartphones, we started integrating a lot of these technologies into a single processor or system on a chip. And if you look at, Snapdragon today, you have multiple cores running at, several gigahertz of frequencies. You have a very powerful graphics engine, console quality graphics in the palm of your hand. You have integrated connectivity, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, GPS. And really some of the things that we put in there have taken the need for things like camcorders or cameras or GPS devices. Really everything has gotten integrated into a single chip. So, if you look at the devices that people are creating for these IoT applications, again, you see a lot of diversity in these devices. I mean, we're talking anything from a single light bulb to a luxury car. They all require performance, they require connectivity, and they require some kind of sensing. And as you see, it's also all about scalability. So you got to be able to scale anywhere from single sensor device all the way to maybe an appliance or a flying drone, or anything even from a industrial energy device. So there's a lot of diversity in these devices, and one of the things that for us was important was how do we get Snapdragon to really work across all these types of appliances. Which brings me to this slide. This is really a summary of what we have done, as I mentioned, in our embedded business model to to get Snapdragon to go beyond smartphones and go into these broad markets. I'm not going to spend time on every single point here, but I will pick out a few. One of the main ones for us was software. So if you look at software in mobile, it's predominantly Android. When you look at these broad markets, you start seeing other OSs like Linux, like Windows 10 IoT. So there's a number of other operating systems that are really important to support, and also middleware. So if you go, for example, in the robotics industry, there's a robotics operating system that sits on top of Linux. So we've been investing in supporting and enabling some of these other operating systems on top of our processor. The other one that I really want to highlight is longevity. So again, when you think about these devices and that some of the design cycles, I'll give you an example in the medical space. The design cycles are very, very long with all the regulatory approvals and all those things. So we really had to pick a few of our Snapdragon processors and extend the life cycle of those chipsets. 7 to 10 years is what the industry is looking for. And there's a few other ones in there like extended documentation, having this partner ecosystem, including Inforce, and also another one that I will get to in one of my later slides is creating a community around our processor, and the centerpiece of that community is our community board, which we call Dragon Board. So I mentioned, we had to take a few of processors from our somewhat large portfolio of smartphone chipsets and apply all those ingredients that I mentioned to those two processors to bring them into the broad embedded markets. The two that we have enabled so far are Snapdragon 410 and Snapdragon 600. I'm not going to go through all the specs of these processors, but we do have a number of collateral and web pages and documentation that's available to you guys as far as what are the specs, what are the operating systems for these chipsets, and also how you can use them in terms of documentation, in terms of programming guides. So we do have a number of documents that you guys can refer to with respect to these two processors. So let me go ahead to the next slide. This is the community board that I mentioned. The first one that we came out with was using the Snapdragon 410. It's called Dragon Board 410C, C for community. And it's really a power horse of many, many different features integrated into a single board. So from the performance of the chipset itself to the connectivity on board, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and GPS, support for Android, Linux, and Windows 10. And also I think another really important feature of this board is the fact that it adheres to the 96 boards consumer edition open hardware standard. And the idea with that is you have a low speed and high speed connector on this board, which is in the same position as every other 96 board form factor. And that allows you to use a number of mezzanine or add-on cards that the community is creating for these boards. So anything from a sensor board or a robotics board or a number of other things that people are creating to add on top of these boards, including the Dragon Board 410C. So we're really excited about this. We've been working with Lenaro, which is behind the 96 boards. We've been working with Microsoft around Windows 10 IoT, and obviously taking this to global distribution, working with Aero Electronics. So they've made this board available around the world at a very, very reasonable price, which is $75 US. So let me go ahead to my next slide here. Now, we didn't just want to have a community board out there. We obviously want to make sure that if you take the Dragon Board and it solves your problem, it has the right set of performance and features that you're looking for in your IoT device, we wanted to make sure there's a solid commercialization path for you to be able to use Snapdragon. And there's a number of ways you can go do that. One of them is using one of the already available production-ready modules or single-board computers, so we call them SOMs, System on Module, or SBC, from our board partners. And happy to say that Inforce Computing, which is here with us today, has SOMs and SBCs pretty much on every chipset that we have in the embedded market. So you could go and just use one of those that they have already designed and ready to manufacture and integrate that into your IoT device. So that's one option. The other option is using creating a custom version for your application. And a lot of times a custom version is driven by size or driven by cost or driven by additional features that you may need to add to your board. So that's really a great way to go from just prototyping, maybe evaluating on the Dragon Board, to actually creating a commercial device using our Snapdragon processor. So with that, I think that's a really good segue to the main part of the presentation, which is Keith Flair from Inforce. And they're going to tell you a little bit about what they have done using our chipset, taking advantage of the technologies and the support that we have given them to go create these solutions. They'll tell you about those and tell you about a few of the example applications in this space using our chipset. So with that, I'm going to hand it to Keith.
Thank you so much, Leon. It's very helpful. I'm Keith Fleer from Inforce Computing, and as he mentioned, we're a partner with Qualcomm. We license their chips for the embedded space and create modules and single-board computers and also offer custom design services. Electronic devices are currently undergoing a generational refresh. Devices that used to operate in isolation from their surroundings and with a single dedicated purpose are now becoming connected platforms. They're more intelligent, connected, and more aware of their surroundings than they ever were before. By integrating a compute solution that was originally designed for smartphones, these devices are able to take advantage of all that smartphones have to offer, but tailored to new application spaces. Notably, devices that used to be static, installed on site and then forgotten, are now becoming portable. It used to be that you had to travel to the device. Things like ultrasounds, mass spectrometers, and video conferencing equipment. Now, the devices travel with us. Today, I'll focus on how Snapdragon processors from the smartphone space have enabled this transformation in a few key areas. These include medical devices, enterprise collaboration tools, and industrial applications. Right now, ultrasounds are pretty ubiquitous. They can be found at every hospital and are now available as USB-connected sensors that you can connect to your home computer. Traditionally, as you can see here, they've been bulky, often taking up the entire room. They're non-collaborative, and they're minimally portable. Recently, there's been a change. Ultrasounds have become smaller and can now transmit images electronically throughout a hospital's network. Making the next generational leap, however, requires a new approach. The next generation ultrasound can't just be smaller. It has to be so small that it can be carried around. It needs all the compute-intensive image processing capabilities of its predecessors and the ability to efficiently encode the video for streaming, but without using so much power that its useful life on battery is unreasonably diminished. Further, it needs to include robust wireless connectivity. Too little bandwidth and real-time communication quickly becomes impractical. Here we have a cloud-connected ultrasound. As you can see, it's quite different from its predecessors. It has an intuitive touch interface, the sensors are smaller and more portable, and it's battery-powered. In joining the Internet of Everything, devices often become more than the sum of their parts. For example, the ultrasound you see here is not just an internet-connected ultrasound machine. It is an Android ultrasound machine. What used to serve a single dedicated purpose is now capable of serving as a medical platform. New and different sensors can be swapped in or out, and collaborative and analytical capabilities can be added just by installing an app. It's now as easy to add a new medical modality to an ultrasound device as it is to add a new webcam or printer to your home computer. Key things that Snapdragon has helped bring to this market is portability, intuitive interfaces through touch, and the ability to do remote diagnosis. As I mentioned, those efficient video codecs that allow transmission of video remotely don't just work in hospitals. They can work over cell networks in remote locations where normal medical care is not available. In the enterprise, one of the most ubiquitous tools you think of is the whiteboard. Now, there's a few different kinds of whiteboards. There's a very traditional kind, which is small and portable, lightweight. It has basic features. You can use markers, erasers, and anyone who's in the room with you can collaborate with you. You can sketch out designs and redo them as many times as you want. However, these days, many people are remotely connected. We have offices all over the world. So we've come up with new whiteboards. There are electronic whiteboards where you can choose the input. It's software defined. A projector plays the image on a wall, and you can collaborate in real time with your coworkers. Unfortunately, those versions tend to be bulky and very expensive. For the electronic versions, it can be $500 to $600 for the projector alone. Further, it's not portable at all. The projector must be mounted on the ceiling or on a stand. What we need these days is something that's small and portable and inexpensive enough that it can be deployed to every space where you work, not just one conference room where it's seldom used. The new version is not just portable and doesn't just duplicate previous features, but it adds a camera for conferencing. You can display the images from your coworkers directly on the whiteboard screen while you collaborate in real time. Again, the highly efficient video encoding that comes with Snapdragon processors, H.264 and H.265, allows you wireless and wired connectivity across the globe while you use your interactive tools. Not only that, because it's a platform, new features can be added, like saving of information or editing, and new types of tools. You can interact not just with two-dimensional drawings, but also with three-dimensional. Snapdragon has allowed us to create these features, customizable input that can be changed or added through apps, cloud connectivity that's powered by built-in Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and portability that can only be accomplished because Snapdragon is so power efficient that you can have useful life on a large display. Another tool that's often used in the enterprise is teleconferencing systems. Now, originally, these were voice only. As time moved on, we added video. This allowed a more personal experience so we could collaborate and feel like we were there with the people we're talking to, which fosters a sense of collaboration. Unfortunately, these systems tended to be very expensive. And like ultrasounds and whiteboards, they tend to be mounted in one place or one conference room. And a typical business may only have one or two of these systems. They're not everywhere where you work, in your huddle spaces, at your tables. These days, with Snapdragon, we can make smaller versions, more or less expensive versions, that still have the high efficiency capability to transmit video in real time, in high definition. People on smartphones expect to be able to record high definition video, and Qualcomm has made that possible. That functionality can be brought to the embedded space. So now you can have an HD display so you can feel like you're in the same room with your collaborators, even when they're across the globe. In this case, it's not just the quality of the image, but also the latency. This is where Snapdragon's digital signal processing and powerful processor come into play. They allow the camera to transmit the video, encode it highly efficiently, transmit it over the Wi-Fi to your collaborators, and get decoded on the other end by a similar device, all in real time with minimal latency. Much like the ultrasound and the whiteboard, it's not just a teleconferencing system. It's not a dumb box that only gets one software update and is never touched again. Because these come from the smartphone space, these are built on Android. Android has so many tools for allowing developers to add new features. Even with the same equipment, which is designed to sit in an office for up to 5-6 years, you can add new features and send them out over the air. To reiterate, it runs on Android, which gives you a platform for development. It's got high efficiency encoding and decode in H.264 and H.265, and it has low thermal output, which allows for more attractive designs. Finally, there's an area where embedded computing hasn't penetrated quite as fully. We have industrial applications, where traditionally it requires on-site technicians. Workers have to be available in the time zone where your warehouse is located. And significant investment goes into personal protective equipment to protect your workers. Analysis tools can only be used by one person at a time, cameras and other inspection equipment. The new versions using embedded technology are cloud connected. One tool can be connected to the internet, and it can be used by multiple workers simultaneously for dual verification. No on-site requirement is there. You can have workers from all over the globe, so your warehouse can run night and day. They can operate according to their local time zone. Also, there's significant automation potential. Previously, robots that exist in industrial applications are pre-programmed with a specific set of exercises that they will do. They're not able to adapt to dynamic situations and have to have predefined failure modes. We're starting to add semi-autonomous robots to dynamic industrial environments. We're adding object recognition and heavy image processing. The new versions of industrial applications with embedded power need to be battery powered, no tethers, for maximum flexibility. They need support for extended temperature ranges. Warehouses need not be climate controlled anymore. Also, this works for specialty environments like freezers or industrial ovens with proper thermal design. Additionally, durability is a key consideration. Snapdragon processors coming from the smartphone space are dropped, they're humid from pockets, and they're exposed to direct sunlight. They're also exposed to extreme cold in the winter when people leave their phones in their cars overnight. Snapdragon has been tested and it's trusted. And when used to make cloud-connected tools in industrial spaces, it can allow miniaturization, wireless connectivity, it can work in remote locations without requirements for local workers, and it improves safety and usability. Now, these use cases illustrate where we've had successes in the embedded market. But when you're trying to design your own product, you have to make a choice. When you're trying to use a Qualcomm Snapdragon module processor, you need to choose if you want to go with a single board computer, a system on a module, or a SOM, or a custom design. Now, each one has a few different advantages that need to be carefully considered for each project. As each project is unique and has its own requirements and goals, deadlines, and relies on the availability of matching devices. Single board computers are going to be the fastest time to market. They're product ready, they've already been tested, and often come with pre-certified wireless modules. They're also the lowest cost, as there are no additional design considerations that need to go into this piece of the hardware. Basically, the product is finished before you've even started, You just need to add your touches to it and customize the software. However, you may want more modularity than that. You may want to be able to customize. But full custom solutions may not be the right choice. They're slow to market. You have to go through a full design process, and they're very costly. They're not upgradable either. So what's the solution? Systems on modules take all of the compute power of Snapdragon and place it on a small module. This module then plugs into a carrier board that brings out only the features that you want in the form factor that you desire. If you don't need Ethernet, then you don't place it on the carrier. If you need a particular form factor, you can do that with a carrier board. It's faster than designing a full custom solution, although not quite as fast as using a single board computer. And there are design considerations that need to go in it. It will cost you some to design a carrier board. However, the module containing all the compute power can be a very complex PCB with 12 to 14 layers, whereas the carrier board can be only 4 to 6, which reduces your time to market. Going through the design process, we recommend starting with the single board computer in mind. Once you've defined your project, including any market research to determine pricing and timing priorities, you can evaluate which design process is most appropriate for you. We'll get more into this more later in the presentation, but the first step is to choose your chipset. The 410 has lower computing power, but also much lower cost. The Snapdragon 600 is mid-range, middle cost, and it's powerful, but still very affordable. And the 805 is at the top end, somewhat pricey compared to the others, but packed with features and horsepower. And then there's the upcoming Snapdragon 820, with the highest compute power per watt available in the Snapdragon line. Once you've decided on a chipset, you need to check whether a single board computer that's available meets your technical requirements. Do you need external antennas? What kind of storage do you need? Will a micro SD card or USB or SATA storage meet your needs? If so, you can go with an SBC. Once you've decided that it meets your technical requirements, you need to check if the form factor will be acceptable. This is important. If a single board computer won't fit into the enclosure or style of product that you want, then you need to go with something that's more customizable. However, if it's okay, or if you have firm market requirements to get there quickly, then you can go with a single board computer. And once you've accepted that, you can purchase one off the shelf. They're available in low quantities for testing and prototyping. Because they're product ready and already tested internally by the company that manufactures them, you have to do minimal testing. Software already comes available in Android and Linux, and you can build off of these blocks that already exist rather than starting from scratch and creating fully custom software. Finally, you complete your industrial design. You can build an enclosure and do thermal analysis and submit it for final certification, certifying bodies like the FCC. And then you can go to market. It's a very fast process and allows you a number of choices in what storage you add and what connectivity you want. However, sometimes this won't be appropriate. If it doesn't meet your technical requirements or the form factor doesn't work, you can consider either a build-to-order option of a single board computer where components are removed or changed, or you can consider a system on a module. Now, the design process for systems on modules is a little bit different from the SBC design process, but it's very similar. Again, you start with the project definition, and then you choose your chipset. Again, you check if it meets your technical requirements. Systems on modules bring out their connections on either board-to-board connectors or edge connectors. There's often a limited number of pins available on these, and those limit the number of connections that come out of them. Now, each company that builds modules will make choices on what connections are most popular or most common and bring those out. So when designing your product, you have to check to make sure that everything that you need is available. Or if it's not, talk to the company. Sometimes there are other options that are available that aren't public, and they'll bring out additional connectivity. Once you've decided that ASOM meets your technical requirements, you can purchase, test, and prototype rapidly, much like with an SBC. But in this case, you use the reference carrier. This will be a large carrier board that typically brings out as many of the different features and connection options as possible. It won't be practical for an end product, but that's okay. You'll be designing your own carrier that fits your form factor needs and brings out only what you want. Again, if you don't need wired connections, you can remove the Ethernet. It doesn't need to be part of your design at all. If you don't need GPS, you can take the chip off and reduce your cost. These are all considerations that contribute to the customization available with SOMs and also allow you flexibility in bringing your product to market the way you want to. Once you've designed your carrier board, you can complete your industrial design and go to market. If the SOM doesn't meet your technical requirements, then at that point, you might want to consider a full custom design. This will allow you to bring out exactly what you want from the Snapdragon processor in exactly the form factor you want, but again, comes with the pitfalls of higher cost and slower time to market. One of the hard decisions is choosing your chipset. There's so many available, and Qualcomm keeps adding new ones with new features. So which one do you need? The ones that are available for embedded computing are the Snapdragon 410, the Snapdragon 600, the Snapdragon 805, and the Snapdragon 820. Now, each of these are very powerful, but as you can see, they start at the low end with 1.2 gigahertz as a frequency and go all the way up to 2.7 on the 805 and 2.2 on the 820, while that one's 64-bit, so you get more power. Snapdragon processors also have incredibly powerful graphical processing units. These Adreno processors are all clocked high and allow you for HD output. Every single one of these chips allows HD encoding and decoding. They also include a digital signal processor, which can add a lot to complex issues. As we mentioned with the ultrasound, pulling in that sensor information and turning it into a useful ultrasound image that's then encoded and transmitted takes a lot of power. The DSP and the GPU can work together to make this possible at low power. Each of these chips comes standard with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth connectivity, as well as GPS. Camera is one of the key considerations and one of the main differentiators between these chips. If your camera requirements are not particularly high, then you can go with one of the less costly chips for embedded computing, the Snapdragon 410, which still supports up to 13 megapixels. Video-wise, it can support 1080p at 30 frames per second in H.264. The Snapdragon 600 goes up to 20 megapixels and also supports 1080p at 30 frames per second. The Snapdragon 805 is the true multimedia power horse. It supports up to 55 megapixels of camera input and can do 1080p at 120 frames per second or 4K video at 30 frames per second encoding in H.264. Decoding, it can decode H.265, which is the new higher efficiency video codec, at 1080p and 120 frames per second and 4K. The Snapdragon 820 has new features, zero shutter lag on the camera for instantaneous capture up to 32 megapixels. It also supports 1080p at 120 frames per second and 4K 30 encoding. However, the 820 adds H.265 to its encoding capabilities as well. Target applications for the Snapdragon 410 are Internet of Everything pieces with small form factor requirements and industrial embedded devices, things that need to be durable and support industrial extended temperature ranges. The Snapdragon 600 is a mid-range performance level and is great for powering robotics, digital signage, and medical imaging. The Snapdragon 805 is multi-camera. It's heavy-duty for multimedia and it supports computer vision and can do heavy analysis for things like drones that do image processing on dynamically changing terrain. At the very top end is the Snapdragon 820, which adds support for much higher resolutions and is at the top end of embedded computing. Now that you've heard about Snapdragon processors, I'll tell you a little about Inforce. As we've mentioned, there are single board computers, micro systems on modules, and we sell development kits so that allow you to use the micro SOMs without investing in designing a custom carrier board. We also offer accessories that work out of the box so that you don't need to invest in bringing up a new sensor or a camera or a display just to test and prototype. We also offer support for Android and Linux. We have board support packages for both of these. And as Leon mentioned earlier, there's also support for other software packages, like the robot operating system on Linux. We have a partnership with the foundation, Open Source Robotics Foundation, to bring this up on our products. And it's been used successfully in demos, including the TurtleBot, which you can look up online. We have extensive hardware design expertise. So in addition to the micro SOMs and SBCs that you see, we also offer custom designs. Once you've decided that an SBC or a micro SOM isn't going to work for you, you can still come to us, and we'll help. We'll bring your vision to reality. We have volume manufacturing support. We control our supply chain. And we also have lifecycle support for all of your products, whether short-lived or long-lived in the embedded space. We support them for as long as they are available. And beyond that, we offer manufacturing agreements to support you into the future. Inforce was founded in 2007 and has operations in the U.S. and India and Malaysia, and we have global reach. We've partnered with Aero for distribution, and our leadership team is made up of embedded industry veterans. We're partnered with Qualcomm, and we also have a history of designing high-end server architecture with Cavium. Our channels for sales are worldwide. You can buy from us off our website directly and also through Aero. In closing, regardless of what your project requires, there's a Snapdragon processor that can meet your needs. Snapdragon provides high-end embedded computing with extended temperature ranges, camera support for high resolutions, high efficiency video encode and decode, and other features as well. Inforce is here to take your vision to reality, and we hope you'll join us. And now back to Leon for the final.
Yeah, thank you so much, Keith. Let me move to the next slide here. In the interest of time, I know there's a lot of good questions. I wanted to leave you guys with a couple of links that you can go and get more information. If we don't get to all the questions, chances are that you may find the answers in the developer.qualcomm.com, Qualcomm Developer Network. We have a number of pages for software, for tools, for documentation, and some of the things that we talked about today in terms of our ecosystem partners and the solutions that they've created. So that's your main portal. And then there's a couple of links here for Inforce if you're looking for more information about them and the some of the SOMs and single board computers that Keith talked about. You can go find more information about those as well. So with that, I wanted to thank all of you for attending our webinar today. It's been great, and would love to go into the Q&A and see what you guys are interested in. So I'll hand it back to Kurt.
Great. Thank you very much. Leon, Keith, we are now to the Q&A. I want to remind the audience you can continue to ask questions through the whole Q&A. We've got a few lined up here. Let's start with one about EMI radiation, Keith. How critical are the effects of EMI radiation on the medical IoT devices, and how do you solve or address that?
Thank you, Kurt. That's an excellent question. So, as you know, all of our devices have to go through FCC certification, and for medical, it's even more important. Now, there's a few ways to address EMI radiation, but one of the key ones that we allow is shielding. Now, it's not shown on the pictures in the slides, but if you go to our website, you can see images where this shielding is put in place. Now, this is available on the systems on modules, and we can also help with the SBCs. Although with the SBCs, the modules for Wi-Fi and Bluetooth are often pre-certified, so you don't need to worry as much about those.
Okay, great, thanks. Leon, you mentioned Qualcomm ecosystem for Snapdragon. Can you provide any information about additional software and hardware partners or where to get more information about the ecosystem?
Yeah, that's also a great question. Like I said, we have put a lot of information on developer.qualcomm.com. As I think this question exemplifies, the power of our program and what we're doing is really in the ecosystem and the partners. I mentioned a few of them. There's Linaro, so we've been working with Linaro to create the Linux distribution for Snapdragon. So that's one of our strong ecosystem partners. They're also the organization behind the 96 boards open standard for community boards. So we've collaborated with them as well, and you'll find some information on there also. There's also a number of companies that are creating middleware and software solutions for our chipset. Again, I'm not going to name all of them, but they're all listed on developer.qualcomm.com. And you guys can also join the ecosystem as well. There's we have forums set up on the 96 Boards website where you can come in, ask questions, contribute. And then if you want to come in and maybe collaborate with us, we'd be happy to talk to you and we'd be happy to provide you with the tools that you need to become one of our ecosystem partners. So again, I really encourage everyone to check out developer.qualcomm.com where you can find all that information.
Okay. Keith, question about what the difference is between a reference dev kit and an SBC.
Right. Again, good question. So an SBC, or single board computer, is product ready. It's pretty much completely done. It's one PCB with the processor and standard size connections for Ethernet, USB, power. There's micro SD card slots on there. You know, if it fits your requirements, you can basically slap a case on it, do a little thermal analysis, and, you know, put your software on there and go right to market. Now, the dev kits are for the systems on modules. Now, the module itself, you know, at least for Enforce, brings out the connections on two 100-pin board-to-board connectors. And those aren't particularly friendly for prototyping. So we have the development kits, which come with a reference carrier board of our own design. And this takes those pin connections and changes them into the standard interface connectors for Ethernet, USB, SATA, you know, MIPI CSI and DSI connections. And that just lets you buy it off the shelf, you know, one, two units, and you can connect up our display accessories or cameras, you know, out of the box and try it out. You know, once you're ready to design your own product or carrier board, you can either have us do it using our expertise, you know, or we have design assistance packages so that you can use your own resources to design your carrier board. And it's really very simple. It's a fast process, quick turnaround. You know, but that reference carrier design lets you prototype and test it out without having to commit resources ahead of time.
Okay, great. Leon, are the Smart Protect technology features in the 820 available on the community board?
That's a great question, and I wanted to actually answer it in two parts. So starting with the 820, so Keith mentioned that as one of the processors in our lineup. It is coming soon, so we've started the process of enabling 820 going into the broad embedded markets. That obviously starts with our partners. So as Keith mentioned, Inforce is developing solutions based on the 820 processor. We're also working on, obviously, on the other pieces of that, which is enabling software, enabling documentation, and also working on the community aspect of things. So I wanted to emphasize, though, that it is not available yet. It's something that we're working towards kind of later this year on bringing 820 into a full lineup of embedded. And the second part of that question, Smart Protect, that's actually a very exciting technology around security and using machine learning to provide really zero-day security for mobile devices. And of course, that's part of the 820 solution. This is really the advantage of being able to leverage the technologies that Qualcomm is creating in the mobile and the smartphone space and bringing those into the adjacent markets. So of course, when we have the 820 modules and 820 solutions available, we will also bring in technologies like Smart Protect into these applications as well.
Okay, great. Here's an interesting question, Keith. Do you see a need for mechanically flexible ultra-thin form factors in embedded applications? If so, how do you think the path of these flexible form factors will take?
That's an interesting question. So, you know, Inforce hasn't necessarily explored that yet. You know, our focus has been on the SOMs for modularity, you know, and maximum reach in products like that. But I definitely think that there's room for, you know, flexible form factors in the future as products, you know, and displays themselves become flexible. You know, the electronics are going to have to move forward with it.
Right, right. Okay. Leon, when can we expect the Windows 10 IoT core?
Yep, that's a good question, and I have a very simple answer to that one. So for Snapdragon 410, which is kind of the first entry processor in our embedded lineup, Windows 10 IoT core is available today. So if you were to grab a Dragon Board 410C, you would be able to go and download a Windows image and start developing today. And again, for some of the other Snapdragon processors where Windows 10 is supported, we'll have those available as well. But the good news is today, if you were to grab Dragon Board 410C, whether you are targeting Android or Linux or Windows 10 IoT Core, all three of those are available to you and you can start development right away.
Okay, great. Keith, there's a few questions on debugging, so I'm going to try to lump them all together. Can you explain a little bit about what kind of debugging environments are there? And how does it compare to other development environments people might be familiar with?
Sorry, I would have to defer to my colleague Sandeep for that. I'm not sure if he's on the line.
Okay. Leon, is that part of your ecosystem where you have debuggers and emulators and those kinds of things for the parts as well?
Sure. Like Keith said, we do have you know, folks that focus on those things. But let me just try to answer that in kind of a general sense. You know, we are a Snapdragon, we are an ARM-based processor. So there's actually a number of tools out there, many of them open source, that you can use for debugging and for basically developing on an ARM-based processor. So for example, Snapdragon 410, that would be a V8 instruction set, and there's a number of tools available for that. Also, we have developed certain tools for that are available specifically for our cores inside the chipset. A good example of that is we have the Adreno Profiler, which helps you if you're doing anything around graphics processing, really helps you to optimize your graphics performance. Another tool called Trepan, which is for power optimization, so it really allows you to come in, measure performance, measure power consumption, and gives you some hints on how you would do power optimization. Number of really good tools. Again, I would defer everyone to developer.qualcomm.com. We do have a section on all the tools that are available for Snapdragon. And then, again, under the embedded computing page, you would see the tools that are specifically available for embedded and for our embedded chipsets. So I think general answer is check out the page. And then also, I'm sure Inforce will follow up with you guys on anything specific that they have created for D-Button.
Okay, great. I'm going to lump three more questions. They all have to do with connectivity. One is, do the SBCs have a SIM module for 3G, 4G, Keith? And then some follow-ons regarding, hey, what's available? Cellular, Wi-Fi, there was even a dedicated short-range communications or a DSRC question about automotive applications. Keith, can you talk about the connectivity available and what people can do for those kinds of applications?
Sure. So on the SBCs, there's no inbuilt SIM module. The reason for this is that on the embedded applications processors, the cellular radios have been fused out. So, you know, for those, we rely on external modules, USB or I2C or serial connections, to enable that sort of connectivity. And a lot of times that's preferable because it allows for external radio connections. And in a lot of these environments, the external powered antenna is very important. So even though it's not integrated, cellular connectivity is a part of a lot of the products that come out of, our designers. And then Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, those are already built in. The modules are there. You don't have to add anything. And again, there's connections for external antennas. And same with GPS. The module's all there. It's built into the SBC.
Okay. And do you have a lot of people using the boards for automotive applications?
I can't say too much about who, but we have quite a few that are working.
Sure. So the
space.
Technologies are there to put driver assistance or those kinds of things, prototyping them up with the boards and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And a lot of that comes down to the image processing power, and the CPU power that's there for handling those really intensive algorithms that go into that.
Okay. And there was a question, Leon, about the difference between the Snapdragon core and the ARM core. I believe you said it was an ARM core. Are there any differences in your version in the Snapdragon?
That's a good question. So we do have a couple of different implementations in some cases, and you would notice that on the Snapdragon 410 that we're using the standard ARM core. So in that case, it's a Cortex A53. That's what we integrated in terms of CPU core. In some cases, you get to the higher end of the portfolio, and you noticed in some of the slides, we have custom CPU cores, like, for example, the Crate core. And the difference there is the Crate core is still fully compatible with the ARM instruction set. What we've done is we've increased performance and reduced power consumption. So it's at an architectural level. We've created a more powerful, more energy-efficient core, still fully compatible with the ARM instruction set.
Okay, great. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. I want to thank Leon and Keith for sharing their insight and expertise on design considerations for tiny plug-and-play compute platforms. We at Open Systems Media, Qualcomm, and Inforce want to thank you, the audience, for attending and contributing great questions remotely. This eCast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen within 24 hours, and an audio-only podcast version will also be made available there. Thank you for attending. Have a great day.